Welcome to the first edition of the Geelong Cats new podcast, To the Final Bell, where we'll be talking all things Geelong Cats, of course, AFL, VFL, VFLW, and I'm sure given the guests or my fellow members of this podcast, some very, very random topics throughout the year. We're going to be joined by some brilliant guests throughout the season, starting today with the great Andrew Mackie. Looking forward to having a chat with him. But before all that, and we get into the news of the week and how the Cats are travelling, it is my great pleasure to introduce the two men who are going to be with me throughout the season. I'm going to start with the elder gentleman in the room, the man who's been a journo for more than 25 years at the Herald Sun. He knows it all. He knows where all the bodies are buried, this man. Scotty Gallen, welcome to you, Scotty.
Thank you, Cameron. That figure makes me squirm, but I'm glad we've finally got ourselves organised, and it's a good week to start it, given the result on Saturday, and I'm blaming you for that. I was ready to go in March, but that's good that we're finally going now.
At three-quarter time, I was thinking, this is great. We're going to start it with a bang. We're going to have a great win under our belt, and unfortunately, it didn't go to plan, which brings us to the other man who we're going to heap all the blame on, Scotty. And Zach Toohey, welcome, Zach.
Lingy, Scotty. Not great. You're heaping the blame onto me. Is that where we're going with this?
I'm just giving you a little early indication about the fact that we're probably going to turn on each other throughout the season.
Won't take long.
We're going to talk some serious footy. We're going to have a heap of fun, hopefully. We hope it's going to be entertaining for all our listeners out there. And throughout the season, we're going to get a translator to translate a lot
classic,
of what you're saying.
Classic.
Just you knew it was coming.
Yeah, I was wondering, what are we? 30 seconds in. Fantastic.
How did you pull up, just quickly, before we get to where we're headed today? You pulled up okay?
Physically fine, yeah. The ego's taking a bit of a bashing, but that's all right.
And the wallet's a little lighter?
It's just this, Stewie. Tom Stewart kept me in trouble again. Yeah, got done again.
On that little upstart Sydney guy, first game, the Ronk, kicked a good goal. He wasn't happy with the world. It was half time.
Three quarter time.
So you were all happy? Everyone's
Yeah, we're going back to our huddle. It's one of those things. Emotions are pretty high, and right after the sirens, a good time to
have a blue.
Players think is a good time to maybe, you know, voice any concerns they have. And Stewie was only getting up off the ground when he was coming charging, so I couldn't really just let him run at him.
Had to get involved.
Is there a team fund? You know, help me out. I was flying the flag. I shouldn't have to pay this fine.
Well, there's not, but it's not a bad idea. Let me pitch it to, maybe I'll just get Simon Lloyd to dish out. We'll see.
Now, one of the things we're going to start with each week on this podcast is in the great tradition of leading teams and the peer assessment, given leading teams had a little bit of success here at the Cats, stop, start, keep. So each week I'm going to ask you two guys and myself from the weekend's game and in general what the Cats are doing, what they've got to stop doing, what they've got to start doing, what they've got to keep doing. Okay? Not much preparation here, but I'm sure you two guys are all over it. Let's start with start. What do the Cats need to start doing? Well, Zach's just straight away pointed to you, Scotty, so far away. Let's get the elephant in the room out of the way. What do they have to start doing, the Cats?
I spent hours on this, and it just came to me, like in the middle of the night. Winning centre clearances.
Surprise.
How did I come up with that?
Straight away. Well, how are they going to do it? Don't just throw it out there.
Okay, here's the man up. That's just a little something.
Man up.
If there's a bloke called Jay Kennedy in that vicinity, up.
I know this is a Cats podcast, and I know we're going to, it's more about the Cats, but how good was Josh Kennedy in that last quarter? Nah. A little bit of credit where credit's due.
It was 16-5, and it was an extraordinary display by him and Sinclair. And we all know what happened. But, yeah, it just shows that no matter how good a player you can have in, you need a good system because it can break down. You can be unlucky, but it can break down.
And Zach, when it is happening like that, and Josh Kennedy is an incredible footballer and a big game player, and he's had a couple of quiet weeks, the way he responded and the ball starts flying out of the middle, how hard is it when you're down back and all you feel is, this ball's coming down a lot and in a hurry.
Yeah, well, the thing I thought we should have done better in that last quarter is if we just needed to have contests. So instead of it just coming out really quickly, it was kind of all duck, no dinner. We just needed to find a way of having more contests. So not even winning. We don't expect to walk out of every centre clearance, but geez, he caught fire and geez, an impressive player when he's up and going.
It was my start as well. I've got to say I'm backing up here, Scotty, about the around the clearances. The listeners out there, the Geelong fans out there are going to ask the question, is it the blokes underneath the ruckman, or is it the fact the ruckman balance at the moment? Before I get to you, Zach, about how you balance a team with ruckman, what do you see it as, Scotty? Is the ruckman more important in football these days, or is it the little blokes underneath it?
I think the ruckman are making a comeback, because you look at it. Max Gawn, best ruckman in the comp. Grundy's having a great little patch. Nick Nat's changed West Coast. I mean, the ruckman a couple of years ago was supposed to be dead, but they've fixed that rule, no third man up. I think the Giants back. And what the Cats, like Reece Stanley's a very mobile, can get forward kick goals. Big Sav, also mobile, exciting. Zach Smith's the one who might come in this week. We'll talk about that later. But he's more the traditional, not dinosaur, but he's taller, tap man. And I think it's becoming more apparent that maybe that's the way to go.
Before we move on from this, Zach, just I'm intrigued. List off, and throw in Ryan Abbott as well. Now I'm going to pump him up in a second.
Hang on,
wearing the number 45. Yeah, I want to see it back out there. Ryan Abbott's going to play, I'm certain, if I've got anything to do with it on this podcast. Just the balance. Modern football, as Scotty just mentioned, those ruckmen having huge influence on game. Nick Nat's come back for West Coast, huge influence. Can you have two ruckmen in a team? If you have two ruckmen, what's the second ruckman got to be like? The mobility versus genuine ruckman. Just tell us how the balance of ruckman work in modern footy.
Yeah, so you can still have the really traditional style ruckman, really good tap ruckman, maybe not as mobile as some other guys. But if you're going to have a second big guy in the ground, he has to be mobile. He has to be able to play forward. I think there's definitely room for it. But you're right, balance is the key word. You can't have just one and not the other. You have to have more than one sort of skill set. And look, for a lot of that game, we were well on top, even around the contest. So Captain Hindsight's great. That was an awful last quarter, but it wasn't just that last quarter. Like,
so. Well, Richmond, the Premier, Sean Grigg, who's smaller than
there you go, yeah.
Me. He rucks.
He does ruck. But the number one, Toby Nankervis, has huge influence on games. Grigg, I watched him on Sunday, a couple of centre bounces, he didn't even jump for it.
No,
he was
trying to rove off
the ruckman, which might work. It certainly worked last September, no worries at all.
Zach, momentum. It's the buzz thing in footy, and we see it. Teams just score 6 goals on the run and people can't stop. It happens to every team almost every week.
Yeah,
it happened to the Cats. What can you do? People say, oh, just slow the ball down, but it's not that easy.
Yeah, it's not, and it's almost confusing as a player, because there's no reason you shouldn't be able to stop it, because teams go in at halftime and come back out and then they start dominating. And I'm not sure why, to be honest. And you can have all these systems in place and you can roll players behind the ball, but when a Josh Kennedy or somebody like that catches fire, it's just sometimes it just feels unstoppable. Good teams stop it and we'll get better at it, but yeah, just couldn't stop them.
All right, we've picked on you enough. Yep. We've throw us your start, stop, keep. You just roll through them. Bang, bang, bang.
Right, I'll stop. Tommy Stewart, get me fined. I'm sick of protecting him. I've done it for long enough. He's got to look after himself. I also have stop Paddy's social media. If anybody's seen Paddy's Instagram, it is painful. We don't need to see you drinking tea on your deck every morning talking about how nice Muggs Creek is. So cut it out, Paddy. Keep acknowledging the growth of our younger players. I'm not sure people realise just how young our team is and how inexperienced some of our guys are. And most of their fast development has been down to my leadership. Start having contests. When the game goes against us, we have to find a way to just have contests.
I'm glad you said that for keep. That's my keep too. Keep that youth coming through. Jack Henry.
How good.
Jack Henry was another year off playing AFL football. Not only has he got an opportunity, he's thriving with that opportunity. Great to see. Tom Stewart, I reckon, is proving just an absolute brilliant move. Recruiting a mature age player like that, and we've seen it with Tim Kelly as well, they are just ready and they're motivated, and his season so far has been outstanding, despite making you get fined. I'm still going to pump up Tom Stewart. And Brandon Parfitt didn't play on the weekend, but the week before.
Exceptional,
brilliant footy. So I'm glad you said that for keep. I'm with you on that one. What's your keep and your stop?
My stop is there's a lot of requests going to the AFL in the pre-season about gaming home games, what they want to do. Geelong needs to request not to play Sydney at GMHBA Stadium.
It's out of the last 21 games, Geelong have won 18. The only three they've lost?
Correct.
To the Sydney Swans.
So just, Cookie, get it in there. Just go, look, we'll have all these other interstate teams, but no more Sydney.
Because they play
just
well.
Turn up and win, without doubt. K- keep doing. Well, Stephen Wells, you know, he's been in the job for 100 years. He can stay for another 100. I mean, Tim Kelly, he's got a lot of publicity, but he was best on ground for three quarters on Saturday. And you just sit there and go, again, how did other people not see this kid? He's 23. He's got a body that screams AFL, and we've seen the talent. So, again, there'll be a lot of this from me because I love Wellesley. He gets the keep.
Great call. Great call, Scotty. Absolutely, with Wellesley. We're going to be talking with Andrew Mackey a little bit later on.
Who man is trying to knife him.
He's learning from Stephen. He might have something to say about that extra 100 years, but I'm sure he's learning heaps off Wellesley, which is great. Tim Kelly, just quickly, Zach, tell us a bit about him. Something we don't know. What we see is this incredible footballer has just come in, and the questions are, how on earth did he get through to this age and not be picked up before? But what's he like behind closed doors?
Yeah, it is staggering he made it this far without getting picked up before, but a really well sort of grounded young guy. He's got a very young family, just had twins, in fact, so he's busy on and off field.
So he's juggling twins and an AFL.
It's amazing he's playing the way he is, isn't it?
Across the country.
Yeah, and I think he's just finished his tradie apprenticeship just before he got picked up. So he's just switched on, ready to go, professional young guy.
Probably makes us all look a little bit bad. He's starting his career, moved, twins, done an apprenticeship. Well, hopefully he keeps on going. I've just got to add my stop before we need to take a break. We do have to take a break. My stop is for somebody at the Sydney Swans to tell Steve Johnson to stop eating.
Wow. I did shots catch fire. Him in his shorts.
Did you see him in the red polo on the weekend?
He claimed he's had a back injury and he's been eating a bit.
Oh, he can't train anymore. Now, I know you two have both stepped away from the microphones a little bit as I've said that one, but surely, Zach, you just noticed. You ran past him at some stage.
I haven't seen him. Thought, no comment. I haven't seen him.
I spoke to him, and there is a claim that he said that Aaron and the family was away last week down the country, and Stephen had the run of the house, which, as you know, and he may have dined out more than normal. May have drank a little bit more than normal. He claims him and Dean Cox are starting on Monday, or this week, a fitness camp.
That old chestnut, I'm starting next week. Just take Uber Eats off your speed dial, Stevie. That's not going well for you. So that's my stop right there. We've got to take a break. Just before we do, remember, we're going to have some listener questions throughout the year. So please jump on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of that new fandangled social media stuff, Scotty. Showing our age and
Twitter I'm on, I think.
Twitter you're on. Oh, good. Throw the questions in there. We're going to answer them. We're just going to bombard Zach with the questions flat out throughout the year. He knows what's going on in the inner sanctum. But let's take a quick break.
Making a difference in the community is at the heart of what we do. We're more than just a football club.
On Thursday the 3rd of May, the Cats are conducting the first ever 24-hour challenge to help support our community programs. How does it work? For one day only, every donation you make, we match by our generous donors. $10 worth is $40 worth. $25 is $100 worth. $100 worth is $400 worth. Every donation is tax deductible and goes towards the Cats Community Foundation. Join us, get on board and make your donation count.
Welcome back. It's To The Final Bell, the new Cats podcast here, and we've started well, I think, boys. Zach Toohey and Scotty Gullen with me. I hope we've started well.
Pretty Scotty, happy with our work so far.
I reckon Zach's got a little bit more gold up his sleeve for us. But before we get to that gold, it's time for... We're going to go through the VFL wrap and the VFLW wrap. And most weeks now, hopefully every week, we're going to be joined by Angus Kramer, who's the VFL writer. Angus, welcome.
Thanks, Lingy. Scotty, Zach, good to be here.
The boys, good win on the weekend. Talk us through the game against Casey. Who was the best? Who kicked the goals? And how are they travelling, the VFL guys?
Yeah, so it was a solid win. Got off to a good start and had a big lead at half time. And the Demons came back a bit at the end, but the boys held on. Housey was good again, has been solid all year. Really pushing for that first AFL game. He's been really handy down back, but he's not just defending, he's racking up a lot of touches. Which is important, as Zach would know, does that a fair bit. And in terms of goals, Jacko McLaughlin was big again. He kicked a couple. Jermaine Jones is always involved in the goals. and Stewie Cramery again. He's been huge the last couple of weeks. He doesn't kick big bags, but he's kicking clutch goals at important times.
Mark O'Connor, fellow countryman, how's he travelling? Can we get him back in?
Mark O'Connor's been great. I did chat to him the other week. He's been involved in a new role, sort of. He's been playing down back, so you've probably got a few things to teach him there. He said you've been a good influence on him, but he's been shown that he's quite versatile this year, which is good to see.
Yeah, he's much more versatile than I've ever been. I've 9 years in the back pocket, or 6 minutes total in the midfield, so...
Now, Zach Smith, there's been a lot of talk after given what happened against Sydney. 42 hit-outs, sounds pretty impressive.
Yeah, Zach Smith was very good, and he has been in each of the games. The difficult thing has been that the VFL team has got to juggle Ryan Abbott, Wiley Buzzer and Zach Smith all through the ruck, but on the weekend, Zach was given a fair chunk of the game in the ruck, and it showed that he's a very classy ruckman, and the total hit-outs he got and the possessions as well. He impacts the game all over the ground.
Now, I've been pushing hard for Ryan Abbott because I want to see the number 45 back out there. How's his progress? Not just on the weekend, but how's he progressing?
Yeah, well, in terms of how far he's come in just a couple of years, he was a GFL ruckman only a few years ago, and the fact that he's close to a game or pushing for that spot is huge for... Huge props to him and the development of the coaches that have helped him out.
Now, Angus, this has been a great rap.
It has. Good start.
Where did you watch Saturday night's game from?
Usually
we're very open here on this podcast.
Okay. Well, usually, yeah, I'm up in the box watching the game, making good sure I put all my
notes,
tweets in. Yeah.
Usually.
What he said?
Usually.
Why? What's happened?
Oh, there was something just came up on the weekend that I wasn't able to actually travel out to Casey.
And just came up.
Yeah, just came
couldn't
up.
Have, yeah.
Just the 21st birthday, so I couldn't get out there. Nothing to do with the 2-hour drive there and back. It was just I was quite busy.
Your 21st.
My 21st.
Well, happy birthday for that.
Thank you very much.
I love the fact that he's turned up for his first rap in VFL. Hasn't watched the game.
No, didn't see a minute of it.
No. You watched the replay, though.
I did watch the replay, and I've sort of tried to tie everything in with the whole start to the year rather than just the game. So
it's very clever.
How's Scotty, though? We're trying to build a strong team here on our first podcast.
And just pounces just on a guest.
Go on and throw him under the bus.
Just pounces
the
on
truth. How was the 21st, more importantly?
It was good. It was good. Made even sweeter that we had a good win. Oh, not too messy. I was all right early in the night, maybe towards the end, but I'm all right now.
Was it held at an important establishment called The Edge?
No, it wasn't actually. Lingy said it was too busy that night and I couldn't get a spot there.
Where's the discount rates for our man?
So again, you've thrown him under two. Now I'm angry at him, Scotty. Yeah. I'm starting to get a sense of how this is going to go throughout this year. Just watch your back when Scotty's around. Angus, thank you very much. I'm glad you had a good night at your 21st.
Thank you.
And we look forward to hearing from you next week, and you will have been to that game and give us the full wrap. No, thanks, Angus. Great to chat.
No worries. I'll make sure I'm at every game from now on.
Cheers, boys. Very good.
Well, a terrific result for the VFL on the weekend. Fantastic win for them. Now time for the VFLW wrap ahead of their season opener on the weekend, playing against Melbourne Uni here at GMHBA Stadium on Sunday. It's our pleasure to welcome Simone Belez, who I think is going to join us a fair bit throughout the season. So, Simone, welcome to you. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Cam. It's really great to be part of the new podcast.
Now, your official title is basically head of football.
Let's go with that.
Is that right?
We love a good title here at the Cats, and mine's very long. So let's just go with head of women's football.
Sounds good to me. The boss.
I'll get Cookie to endorse it.
How's the team shaping up ahead of the first game? A big win in the last practice match against the Western Bulldogs. 98 points. Held them goalless, dominating. So does that mean they're just going to win on the weekend?
Of course it does. No, look, the sides will probably look really different in season, but we were really happy with our performance in the practice matches against the Southern Saints and Western Bulldogs. I think for us it was a great... We've got a pretty new squad again this year. So it was a great chance for the players to get to know each other, get into their own rhythm of the game, and they were looking pretty good, I thought.
Kate Darby kicked 6 goals on the weekend, so hopefully she can bag a few on Sunday. Now, this is the last year of the VFLW before the AFLW Geelong Cats team. Scotty, I know that you're just chomping at the bit. You want to fire some questions at Sim about how next year perhaps is shaping up.
When can you tell us your big name signings? I'm not going to ask specifics, Simone, but when are you allowed to?
Yeah, so the AFL are still negotiating a few things with the AFLPA, as the system goes. But we have been talking to players and we are really excited about making some announcements in the coming weeks.
Explain the rules. You can take two players from current clubs.
Up to four.
Oh, four. You can take four from any of the current AFLW clubs.
Ourselves and North Melbourne will put in our proposed list to the AFL. They will chat to the existing clubs about who we plan to make offers to, and it'll be on from young for young and old from there.
Ooh, well, I like to see this. Yeah, I sense like an old school just recruiting just drive against the stars of the game.
Now, you guys know, our list strategy is about homegrown talent. Yep. So we're about bringing the Geelong girls home, and we're about the depth of talent in the Geelong region. The draft will be really important to us. There's some amazing talent coming through the TAC Cup system in the women's football. So that draft is a really important piece for us in October. And this early stage is about, you know, signing up that homegrown talent and bringing them back to Geelong.
Yeah, you talk about the homegrown talent. How impressed have you been, or has it always been the case that the girls have been so professional? Because even just around the club, they're constantly here doing rehab and training and trying kind of desperately to improve. Has the AFLW put more scrutiny on them and forced them to be more professional, or is this just the appetite they've always had? Because it's really impressive.
There is no stopping them, Zach. I think the AFL, it's probably, to be completely honest, it's probably one of their concerns, how much the girls are throwing into their football. But I have to say it's understandable. I mean, this is their shot. This is their chance to play at an elite level. And so for me, I think it's understandable that they want to give it everything they've got. We're lucky at a club like Geelong where we have got the facilities that can allow them to do that. And you guys know, there are some players that are here all the time in our gym. So we do monitor that. Player development's onto it. But look, once it hits the AFLW, the AFL and the AFLPA do put some rules around it. So there are maximum numbers that the players should be spending, number of hours the players should be spending at the club. And we will absolutely be working on that work-life balance, which Geelong does so well anyway. Yeah, so, absolutely. You know, it'll be just the Geelong way for the women's team as much as it is the men's. So.
Simone, in the small snapshot of AFLW, the players who are elite in other sports, netball, etc., coming over seem to be very, very good. Have we got any local stars who have shifted over to us?
We have. In our leadership group, our vice-captain, Renee Gehring, was an excellent netballer locally and played for St Mary's and made the top grade in the state as well. So Renee is in her second season of football and has made vice-captain. She's absolutely flying. She's loving football. We've got a few. Erin Hoare was who played with Melbourne. She's coming back to play with our VFLW. She was a basketballer, tallest AFLW player in the 2018 season. She will be back playing with us at the Cats in the VFLW this season, so it'd be great to see her out and about as well. But
played netball at St Mary's as well.
St Mary's.
Fertile breeding ground for star women's footballers.
Yeah, we've got a great relationship with the local netball.
You're stealing all their players.
No, look, the local women's comp has started up, senior women's comp, and is going really well. So I think the local clubs are now seeing the benefit of another women's team as well as netball. Now they've got football teams as well. So we're really supportive of that senior comp.
Well, we're all looking forward to the VFLW season starting on Sunday here at GMHBA Stadium. I think there's a fair bit going on Sunday, isn't there, Sim? Tell us about the day.
Yeah, you should be down here, Cam, with your kids. The Auskick Super Clinic's on first from 9 till 12, and then our game kicks off really quickly after that at 12:30. We've got Sam Lane down here doing some book signings and tossing the coin, and it'd be fantastic to have her involved. And the weather's looking good, so a nice sunny autumn day. So people should hang around and watch our round one clash against Melbourne Uni, which is, of course, the team aligned to North Melbourne, who will be in the comp next year too.
Perfect. Sounds like a good day. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we're going to be able to steal you away a few times throughout the year, and you'll be able to give us an update on how the team's travelling and the build-up to the big AFLW debut season next year. Thanks, Sim.
Looking forward to it.
Now, each week, we're going to take some questions, Scotty and Zach, from the listeners out there, the Cats fans, the big questions they want answered. As I mentioned earlier, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, fire them in, send them in. We'll try and answer as many as we possibly can and get the good ones to air. Going to start. This one's from Tom.
Yes.
All right. I don't mind who answers this one. It's probably going to be you, Zach, though. He's going to get a bit of disease. Let's be honest. If If you could have one player back off the injury list, who would it be from Tom?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we've got a few. But my tendency will be to look after the back line, and I wouldn't mind Harry or Hendo getting back out there. So I'm not sure who would take out, because we spoke with the young guys, are going really, really well. But one of those two experienced guys down back would help.
So where's Harold at?
So he's good. He's moving really well. So he's expected to be back training next week, which would, I guess, put a return sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Back to training next week.
Back training with the group, yeah. So he's been working pretty hard. He's doing a lot of individual sessions, as you can imagine. But I think we're expecting him back to train next week.
But Hendo's a bit of a mystery, isn't he?
He is a bit of a mystery in more ways than one. He's a rare unit. But, yeah, he's probably a bit further down the track. Not sure exactly where he's at, but he's sort of still indoors doing his rehab.
If I can answer one part of that question, a player to come off the injury list who I never want to see on the injury list ever again is Nakia Cockatoo. He's my favourite player at the club, sorry, Zach, but his upside is going to be so special. Please tell me he will never get injured again after he comes back.
Lives on this injury.
No,
that's the problem.
No.
The kid is always injured.
Last time, Scotty. This is it. Done. He's going to explode.
Yeah, I agree. His skill set is Dangerfield-esque, so he could be just a star, but we need him out there, don't we?
I want to see him play a month of VFL continuous before we let him loose. Because we let him loose, he gets injured and he's out again.
Positive? But since when have you become so negative, Scott?
I'm half full. I'm here to calm you down.
Attitude reeks, doesn't it?
I want to see Cocky out there, mate. I'm positive. He's going to play and he's never going to have another.
How come you don't
again.
Like Cocky? What's
I'm what? Loving it. But I just want to see him. I love the kid. He's a superstar.
Scotty hates Cocky.
I'll put
my answer in. Gary up.
Okay. Well, Georgia asks, perfect timing there, Scotty. Georgia asks, is Gaz back Friday night against the Giants here at GMHBA Stadium?
Well, I think Gaz thinks he's certainly good to go. I'm not sure. Obviously, you've got to be relatively cautious because we need him for the long run. But he's pretty close.
If it's close, if it's touch and go, don't you just give him another week?
Yeah, I agree. But it's not my decision. But I agree, if there's any doubt, I wouldn't want him playing.
The coach is talking like he might give him another week from body language, but train well on Saturday, Friday night against GW, it ticks a lot of Gazza.
You don't want him to play a month of solid footy in the VFL?
No, so you don't like Cocky.
So here we go.
Gary wouldn't know what the word VFL is, nor should he.
That's actually true. David asks, should Gaz play forward or mid then, when he does come back?
Yeah.
Not in the VFL.
Guy should rotate when needed. We can swap him and Paddy in and out. It's a pretty good problem to have.
Give us a percentage.
But I'd still like him more in the midfield, to be honest. I still think he's a rock star in the middle. So, I don't know, 70-30, 80-20 midfield, I'd still have him.
Scotty?
I think Gaz wants Zach to be running the show because he wants to play mainly midfield, I believe. So he's a bit different to Paddy in that he's not a high-marking forward. Like, Paddy can go forward and just play like a 6'5" guy, can't he? Mm. Gaz is a bit different, but we know he's so good with his skills.
I've always seen Gaz as more of a midfielder and who kicks goals from the midfield rather than as a deep permanent type forward. I mean, it'd still be dangerous, but Paddy I've always felt is the better forward out of those two, as it playing as a permanent forward.
Yeah, Gary's more like almost the Eddie Betts mould, isn't he?
Yeah. So I think people got overexcited about when he was coming here, and they just got in their head. Oh, he's going to play forward a lot, and he's 33. He's going to sit in the forward pocket.
It was going to be 1993. Gary Ablett Senior kicks 135 goals.
As you both, we all agree, he's a midfielder through and through,
and a great midfielder it is. That's all we've got time for, question-wise. Please send them in, because as we've seen, I quite enjoy just grilling Zach here.
I know, it's going to be...
It's quite fun.
Should we change it to, what do you want to ask Zach?
That could be the name of the segment, all right. We've got to take another break, our last break. Andrew Mackie, the Cats superstar, and now a recruiter, I think, Scotty, is going to join us next.
Making a difference in the community is at the heart of what we do. We're more than just a football club.
On Thursday the 3rd of May, the Cats are conducting the first ever 24-hour challenge to help support our community programs. How does it work? For one day only, every donation you make, we match by our generous donors. $10 worth is $40 worth. $25 is $100 worth. $100 worth is $400 worth. Every donation is tax deductible and goes towards the Cats Community Foundation. Join us, get on board and make your donation count.
All right, the thing that we've been looking forward to most, let's be honest, in this first podcast, our special guest, and the first of many throughout the season, we're going to talk to current players, past players, just some randoms in fact, but we've got the great, the Geelong great, Andrew Mackie. Oh, and it is an absolute pleasure to have him here. Mac, welcome to you. I looked up, I searched everywhere to introduce you with a title as to what you do now, but I couldn't find one. No, what is your title?
I'm still looking for that title. I might just start writing my own title, but it might just sound a bit more impressive than what I actually am. But look, I'm helping out the recruiting and Wellesley and Troy Selwood and Liam Woodland downstairs. And when the time's right, I get outside and have a kick around with the boys and help some young guys with a bit of coaching stuff too. So to be honest, I'm talking a bit of crap downstairs. And I'm enjoying it. And yeah, obviously there's a lot going on. It's a great segue into the footy department. I'm enjoying learning off so many people that we've got in there, and we're lucky enough in particular in the footy department. But more than that, we got obviously through your CEO and Cookie and everyone, that there's lots of people to learn off at this footy club, and I'm just trying to make sure that I do that.
Zach, I believe he has been known to just sit at the desk, yeah, open up the laptop.
He's done a terrific job of making it sound like he's working pretty hard, hasn't he? He is just the wordsmith with these things. If he's here at all, his feet are on the desk and the laptop's closed.
But I look right, don't I? I've got the nice pole on. I'm a bit shitty as a podcast, actually. When I got the email, I thought, we're going to be on camera, so I'll put the nice pole on.
You are obviously transitioning well out of footy and into retirement. Take us back a little bit, just quickly, to your playing days. Yeah, wonderful career.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing that the skinny kid from Glenelg who came over here and somehow, after 15 years, got even skinnier. what a career you did have, mate.
Yeah, look, I've talked about a lot the last... Since you retire, you reflect and talk to people about it all, and we had an amazing run, mate. As you know, it's to be part of the teams that we had and to play with some of the great players is something that, you know, at the time you never take it for granted, but you're in that weekly routine where you do your thing, you play, you recover, you know, as Reg is doing now, and then you get ready for the next game. So you don't appreciate it as greatly as what you do when you stop and you reflect a little bit, which we've had a chance to do that. So to play with the great players and some big games over the years was obviously, you know, something that as a player you always wanted to do. So to be able to do that was amazing. And as I said, it sort of friendships and camaraderie and all the banter that went along with being a part of a great footy club, I just really enjoyed that.
Now, Mac, one of the great stories of your career is the inability to lift a weight or do anything. I mean, can you just explain how many fitness advisors have come in and said, we can do this, we can get weight on this kid?
Yeah.
Did you ever not...
Double figures, Scotty. Double figures. Yeah.
And did you just laugh at him and go, yeah, all right,
yeah,
try. Yeah,
I'd heard that a lot of times. And unfortunately for the guys, I'd have a little grin inside my face. I took it seriously at the start, and then I'm laughing inside himself, thinking, mate, I've heard this before. You're no chance. There's only so much protein powder I can take. But, everyone had a go at it. And then, I unfortunately might have seen a few come and go because I was their project and couldn't get anything done. So I was the end of a couple.
Did you not do any, or you pretended you did any, or you just had the physique that you didn't, whatever you did, it wasn't going to change?
Oh, see... I tried every now and then to get in there.
Truer words never spoken. Every now and then.
It didn't come naturally to me, so I knew I had to do it for footy. So my core I could get enough strength in my core. I lifting deadlifts and squats, I was actually okay. All the other stuff like the bench and, you know, the bench pulls and stuff like that, mate, leave me out of that. I was just no good. So I wanted to, as we all know, when you're playing footy, you're trying to keep in a good headspace, be confident about your footy. I didn't want to go in there and think, mate, I can't lift 50 kilos. I'm going to be shocking against whoever I'm playing this week, won't be able to. So I just, you know, just stayed away and made sure that I was in a good headspace. Do my squats, do my whatever in the North West.
Amazingly, though, despite this lack of sight, it didn't stop you from sledging every single opposition player who had 40 kilos on you.
No, I had stronger teammates who were happened to be near me, who I just knew, you know, boys, let's get ready, I'm about to talk here. I wasn't the most intimidating player from getting a hard ball or my size or anything like that. So, you know, everyone has a way about trying to get in the opposition's head and intimidate in their own way, and that was mine. And I never went into games with a mindset of saying I'm going to get into someone. That was my competitive nature. It just all the competitive juices flowed and took over, and sometimes I'd drive home thinking, what did I say today, and get a bit embarrassed about it.
Well, there's an art to sledging, but most of the sledges I've heard you say have been funny. Are they consciously funny, or is that just your personality?
No, a bit of personality. As I said, I never go into it, but I actually enjoyed having a laugh out there.
Like, yeah.
And I know you're a bit the same. It's an intense game for 3 hours on the weekend, and, you know, there's times where you just need to have a laugh, and whether it be your teammates, as I say to people, we ended up bagging our teammates as much as our opposition. So we actually had good practice out at Monday to Friday. So it was just a continuation of what we used to talk about to our own teammates.
Give us your best.
Give
us your best.
I'll leave that to other people.
What's the best one you received then?
They didn't really get up to those heights. But they were on the back foot. Scotty, they were on the back foot. I just like to land the first blow.
Everyone scuttle away.
Yeah, get a couple away and then, you know, they're on the ropes. But
you're really not going to give us your best?
No, I'll leave that up. You're talking about yourself with that. In all honesty, some of the stuff, just off the cuff and one-liners, you know, which I wouldn't be able to even know.
Who else was good? Stevie J, obviously.
Yeah, Stevie had a craft to it. Yeah, Scala was pretty blunt.
It wasn't so much humour, I don't
think. The humour bit was missing. He liked to let them know that.
Wouldn't have been much finesse.
There was definitely no finesse in his sledging.
Dash in Melbourne, very
dry.
Good.
Dry. Very dry.
Is it with defenders? What are you, just a grumpy bunch, you lot?
Or just a tight knit. Oh, sorry, we've got some personality, like you boring middies.
Please, young. Cover off, my man. Cover off.
You just laugh at me when I said that.
Yeah, no. You, speaking of intense match day, that was you. You and I used to have some great. We used to have some great. They're not arguments. So I just sort of.
Part of
this. We were playing with pride, and say, mate, we'll get the job done. Cover him off. Get up there. After the game, you shake the hands, have a shower and a beer, and we're away.
We're going to have a common theme of Cameron's stories because it's hilarious to hang shit on Lee.
You got a wee ear of this.
He's an easy target, too.
Reg, you're going to know everything about what he used to get up to.
So, grumpy captain, will give us your best story about our friend here.
His on-field stuff, we all know. He was an amazing leader and captain, and his ability to get the job done for the team, this is a serious chat, was absolutely unbelievable. And you guys know that as good as anyone. But what we did enjoy is how quickly he put away his 10 pots.
Let's leave it on the field, can we, Andrew?
If you had a couple of Ks just up there towards the water.
10, that's...
Cameron, there was actually a lot of days he'd pack his denim jeans and he'd be straight up there and straight up a few beers. And I'll be honest, they're not the best jeans, but he got the job done.
Do not believe a
this
word
This does not
of
surprise
this.
Me at
no,
all.
No, this is not true. Let's leave it all on the field. I want to bring it back to you.
I was enjoying that.
Reflect for a bit. We're going to let you go in a sec. But who was the best player you played with?
In all honesty, for different reasons, there's too many of them. Like... Everyone asks this question, and for different reasons, I really enjoyed. There was obviously so much midfield talent, which
the defenders are going to stick together again. Here,
we had role players like in a lot of those chats. You were the best at beating the opposition's best player, and then there was best players at creativity and hitting the ball, kicking the ball inside 50, and goal kickers and defending. So I actually hate answering that question. And I'm going to sit on the fence.
No, you're not.
That is boring.
Yes, I am.
Answer it.
Best player I played with was Gary Ablett.
I thought you were going to say Corey Enright then.
No, this is the thing. So give me Corey Enright. every day of the week.
You've finally given a bit of love to midfielders.
How far down the list is Lingy?
As I said, he was the best player at beating the Boxers. Well, keep going on.
Was I in the top 30?
This is the thing with answering this. Yeah, you're in the top 45.
Why did we start with Mac as a guest?
We've gotten to the bottom of the barrel very early, haven't we? Oh.
We could keep going. Yeah.
We're going to have to let you go, though. Mac, thank you for joining us. Good luck with whatever that new role is that you're doing. Can you just get us an absolute little nugget out of the draft to come the end of the year? Maybe a couple of father-sons.
The boys are onto it. Yeah, they're going well, the father-sons.
Oscar Brownless, Max Demench.
Yeah, they're going well. So it's a long year, as we all know, but we're putting the time in to make sure we know all the players.
Well, good luck with the new role. Thanks heaps for joining us. And everything Mac just said is completely untrue about me.
Scotty Lingy, Zach Tui. Thanks, boy.
I always love chatting with Mac. He's just he's a fun bloke. He knows his footy as much as he stirs up and has a little bit of fun there. But he's always just great to have a chat with.
And there's a lot more stories. We might have to get him back later in the year.
Can we do an uncut version with Mac?
Maybe come the end of the year. Fantastic listening, wouldn't it?
Oh, just unleash on him. He did bring some colourful language to the podcast too.
That's good. I enjoyed that.
Okay, nice. Next in our final segment for our first podcast, and do you hope people listen to this this time around? Is we're calling it "For Whom the Bell Tolls," which I thought was a clever name.
Yeah, no. You've done well there.
Yeah, okay. Is this about maybe putting pressure on somebody in the rest of the AFL world sport, politics, basically to lift their game? Or really, it's just an opportunity to talk some random sort of different sport or politics. I'll throw it, Zach, fire away to you. What do you got for me?
I'm a big Liverpool supporter. And for those who follow soccer at all, the last 10 years have been dominated, Ballon d'Or-wise, by Messi and Ronaldo. Now, Mo Salah should win the Ballon d'Or this year. And if he doesn't win it, it's because it's just a popularity contest. So it might come down to who wins the Champions League out of him and Ronaldo. But if whoever votes for this award want to do it properly, Mo Salah should win the Ballon d'Or.
Absolutely agree, because it is boring. They've just been flip-flopping it for a decade. And you can't tell me that one of them hasn't had a off year where there's a third person, your man.
Mo Salah.
I agree, it's time.
They both do go okay, though.
I'm not criticising the two gentlemen, but your Liverpool man has been phenomenal.
Ridiculous, almost. And, you know, Messi and Ronaldo may be the two best ever, and we're getting to see them at the same era.
Yeah, I know
that. But you still have to acknowledge when someone like Salah bobs along.
Who said that Ronaldo had a better year? If just those two?
Well, I'm not really sure. That seems to be what kind of people are saying. Barcelona, I think, they're cruising La Liga pretty well. My other concern with it is they tend to give it to the player who's won more trophies that year, which is not the point of the Ballon d'Or. No. It's for the best player, not who's got most trophies.
There you go. Zach's come out swinging early. I like it. He's taken on Messi and Ronaldo.
FIFA.
Bang!
No.
Scotty, you got to follow that up.
Well, I think the person under the most pressure in the next week is, I've gone for another small target, LeBron James. Because he is surrounded by nobodies. And he's lifted him. He had to do everything to get him through the first round. They're against the Toronto Raptors, who are a secret tip to... People are pumping them up. But it's so obvious. I mean, he's won championships with other guys who have helped him. And he's probably not going to win the MVP, but... It's watching it, it's just hilarious. It's all about him.
James Harden
win
it?
He's probably going to win it.
Okay.
But LeBron's a better player than James Harden every day of the week.
All right, that's the question I want to ask. No, forget about James Harden. Is LeBron now better than anyone else ever? Is he better than Jordan? He's better than Kobe, but is he better than Michael Jordan?
You're not going to get me saying he's better than Michael Jordan, because I saw Michael Jordan...
You're sitting on the fence again.
Make a statement. No, I just said Michael Jordan's better than LeBron James.
Zach's just told us that Messi and Ronaldo are rubbish.
Shocking.
And no good as soccer players.
Well, what are you? It's not just a fence sitter. You're saying LeBron's better than...
I'm asking you the question. You brought this one up.
I would still say Michael Jordan. Yeah, I'm not on the fence.
Wow, okay.
LeBron's a very solid player. And second
now he's solid.
But I think... Will LeBron move on? That's the next question.
I don't know.
You follow your NBA?
I do, but...
LA Lakers? They're itching.
He'd...
come back.
He'd be the biggest thing in the world in LA.
Pretty close. Yeah, I know.
Well, he probably is the biggest thing in the world right now. Okay, good. Good start. Okay. I'm not putting anyone under pressure. I just want to wish Melbourne victory all the best in their grand final. Is that okay? Am I allowed to do that?
Can you put pressure on the assistant coaches?
Oh, yeah.
Fight on the ground?
That was just stupid by then. What were they thinking?
They only got 4 weeks. So that's effectively Matthew Scarlett running off the bench while the game's still going and headbutting Stevie Johnson from Sydney.
Which we probably shouldn't discount as a possibility. We shouldn't write that off.
But imagine if it happened in the AFL.
Jean-Paul de Marigny, I hope that's how you pronounce it.
Attempt.
He did give David Carney a little slap on the cheek on the way off too. Not a great... And the goalkeeper coach, Dean Anastasiadis. I hope I've got
very
those pronunciations right. 4 weeks, is that what they got?
That's all they got.
Can they coach in the grand final?
I don't believe they'll be allowed.
They're in the stands.
Yeah.
Well, on the stupid. Yeah, okay, I'll put pressure on them. But wish Melbourne victory all the very best against Newcastle. That's the winner from Terry Antonis. That was outstanding given he'd given away the little own goal earlier on in the game.
It's a phenomenal game.
It was brilliant. How do you reckon we've gone first up?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm not sure about Scotty's attacking all my teammates, but outside of that, it's been...
So, well, I had to be here to balance it.
Scotty doesn't like Nakia Cockatoo.
I love Nakia Cockatoo. I just want to see him play.
VFL.
Rowan will replay what I actually said.
Well, I heard you don't like him and all you care about is Gary Ablett, mate. It's bigger than one team.
No, it's not. I want Gazza to play.
Well, I've enjoyed it. Scotty, Zach, we've loved starting.
Yep.
Are we all going to do it again next week?
Wow.
Do you reckon we'll all still have a job?
Me and you, mate.
Yeah, okay, cool. That's sorted. Each week, Tuesday afternoon, we're going to aim to be having this podcast landing in your lap. Hope you've enjoyed listening to this one. As I said, throughout the year, we're going to have some great guests come and join us, some current players, some past players, and just some random Cats fans out there. We want to talk to Mark Wilson, bass guitarist for Jet.
Oh,
Jet are reforming. He's a Mad Cats fan. Guy Pearce, maybe we can get him on. So we're going to talk to all the big stars, hopefully, on to the final bell, the official Geelong Cats podcast. Thanks for listening.